listening to The Break on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, week two of the NFL season officially kicks off tonight. The Bengals and the Ravens, and joining us now to break that one down from the Ravens Radio Network, it's Stan White, former NFL player as well, played for the Baltimore Colts, Detroit Lions. Follow him on Twitter at StanWhite53. Stan, thanks for taking some time this morning on game day. We appreciate it.
All right, Brian. Yeah, looking forward to tonight's game, that's for sure.
Yeah, hey, before we get into that one, because I know you played in the USFL, and I don't know if you saw it, this book recently came out from Jeff Perlman writing about that. What was that experience like when that league first started up and they were starting to pull players away from the NFL? I mean, there was big names, Jim Kelly, Steve Young. What was that experience like?
It was great. In fact, I got that book the day before yesterday. Finally, it came from Amazon that I had pre-ordered it. And I'm just starting to read it now. But I got to play for George Allen, and I finally got old enough to play for George Allen, and he liked veterans, and he treated us all like we were in the NFL. We had first class to everything. It was a great experience for me. I loved it. I loved the USFL, and I'm just I was upset when it tried to go the fall and lost the lawsuit, and won the lawsuit but won a dollar.
Right.
It was a shame because they had a lot of great players. Four Hall of Famers. Reggie White was also in that league. Gary Zimmerman. And then the two quarterbacks you mentioned, that's the last two games I ever won playing for George Allen were against Steve Young and Jim Kelly. So at least I can say that at the end of my career.
That is pretty sweet. And Stan, you mentioned the lawsuit, and they settled for $1. It was about television rights or like oversaturating the market in terms of the NFL's power over the USFL. And correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't gotten through the whole book either, but wasn't it Donald Trump, President Trump now, who was the one that like really wanted to get this lawsuit underway?
Oh, yeah, it was Donald Trump, and that's my story. I was the head of the Players Association in the USFL. We went to Trump Tower to negotiate our first collective bargaining agreement, and he came in, threw a bunch of papers on the table, and said, here's our offer, take it or we'll fold the league. So everybody walked out. I end up walking by his office. He motioned me to come in, and within 10 minutes, we had resolved all the issues because they had to have us because the antitrust, which is what they sued the NFL over, antitrust law, but there's a labor exemption to the antitrust, and that's what they needed from the players. And all we wanted was insurance and a second opinion by doctors and just basic stuff. So it all worked out. He was completely different inside his office than he was when he was in front of everybody. So I'm hoping that's the way he operates now, too.
Okay, so that's interesting, Stan. You got to deal with now the president of the United States. That's pretty incredible. So he was totally different when you actually got into the meeting room with him compared to the persona he was portraying to everybody else on television and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. He just wanted to get the deal done, we went over the issues, and like I said, it took 10, maybe 15 minutes at the most. We went back in the room, and the league went on. And, if they just stayed in the spring for several more years, I think there would have been a merger and some of the teams, sort of like the old AFL and NFL. Yeah. It would have turned out like that. But I think he got a little bit anxious and didn't have enough patience for that to happen.
Oh, that's a great story. And Stan, hopefully now he can learn how to use Twitter in a better way. Maybe he'll get to that level.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're chatting with Stan White from the Ravens Radio Network. Follow him on Twitter at StanWhite53. All right, let's set our focus on this game tonight as we get ready for the Ravens and the Bengals. Joe Flacco, obviously, last year was a tough season for him. He comes out in the opening weekend of the season, and I get it was the Buffalo Bills, but Joe Flacco looks a lot closer to the quarterback we saw in 2014 than we've seen the past two seasons. Would you say that's fair?
Yes, and a lot of it has to do with the health. He tore his ACL in 15 and then came back, and that was the first year back in 16. Then last year he missed the whole training camp because of a bad back. And if anybody's ever had a bad back, they know how that can affect you. And if you're a quarterback, all that twisting and turning with every throw, it wasn't until mid-season that he actually had any type of health and any type of line in front of him. And he had a pretty good second half of the season. I think they were second in points scored the second half of the season. But I expect him to have a big year this year. Number one, because he's healthy. Number two, because he's got three new receivers that give him the weapons, and a rookie tight end who hasn't even played yet, Hayden Hurst, who's going to be really good in this league. And third, because he saw the Ravens draft a quarterback in the first round, and I don't care what anybody says. That's motivation for a player when he sees that happen.
Yeah, it's true, Santa. I mean, you look at last time where there was pressure on Joe Flacco. He bet on himself to get the contract, and he goes into that postseason, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions. He wins the Super Bowl, so maybe he needed a little bit of motivation. You mentioned the receivers because that was an issue last year for this team. Willie Snead, John Brown, there's some speed there, and then you bring in Michael Crabtree, one of the more dependable guys in terms of his hands. I still have no idea why Gruden let him go, but just how much different is this receiving core than it was a year ago?
Oh, it's completely different. Ben Watson, the tight end who is in his like 13th, 14th, 15th year, was their leading receiver last year, and that should tell you, and I think their running back was second. So they just really didn't have much on the outside. They had Mike Wallace, who would give them a big play every once in a while, but was not a consistent receiver in the intermediate passes or in catching those short ones. So they really have upgraded. Now, Ozzie Newsome said he was going to change all the faces in the wide receiver room, and he did that. And he brought in guys to give them a chance to win, give them a chance to move the football.
We're chatting with Stan White from the Ravens Radio Network. You can follow him on Twitter. It's at StanWhite53. All right, Stan, Terrell Suggs had another sack against the Buffalo Bills last week. When is he ever going to get old?
Now, he only had another sack. He had one when Josh Allen came in, who's a big, strong rookie kid. He had him in the backfield, and he got away. And I know he was frustrated after that. But what has happened is he has remade his body after like his 13th, 14th year. The Ravens finally, they caught up with the trend and are training more in like a CrossFit style now that takes into account healthy eating and sleeping and doing all these things. And he really has rejuvenated himself through this type of training. And, you know, he can go on. I don't know. This is his 16th year. Ray Lewis played 17. I know he's well on the way to match that, and who knows how long he'll keep playing. Remember Jim Marshall, back with the old Purple People Eaters, he played 20 years, so I don't know. Maybe he'll reach that.
All right, Stan, looking at this Bengals team, they look a lot better than they did a year ago, and them like the Ravens, I mean, they had a lot of injuries a season ago as well. What's the biggest concern you have with this Bengals offense against the Ravens defense in this one?
Same as every year, A.J. Green. You know, he has killed the Ravens over the year, from catching Hail Marys to 75-yard touchdowns in the last quarter. He has just always been a thorn in the side. And Jimmy Smith is still out. He's going to miss the first four games. He's the guy that has had some success against A.J. Green. But if you don't stop him, you don't stop the Bengals. So they're going to have to really pay attention to A.J. Green and stop him. And now they have John Ross, the rookie from last year, who had a really great preseason, only had one catch last week, even though it was for a touchdown, which is 3 yards. But he provides an additional speed receiver for them. So Tyler Eifert is back. So Andy Dalton, he has all his weapons again this year.
Yeah, Stan, and you look at Joe Mixon, somebody coming into his second year, that first week against the Colts, and I don't know how much stock you put in it because it's the Colts defense, and we know the Ravens is much better, but he ran for almost 100 yards, and he had like over 50 receiving yards as well. As a rookie, he struggled a bit, but how much of a different dimension could he bring to this offense for Cincinnati?
Well, they're talking about him in that top echelon of running backs, so I you know, he was a guy who should have been a first-round pick, and we know why he wasn't, his episode at Oklahoma, but he has that talent. I mean, you could see it even last year when he was struggling, but he struggled because their line was so bad last year. Now, they've improved that. They brought in Billy Price from my alma mater, Ohio State, in the first-round pick, and traded for Cordy Glenn, so they have some new people up there. I think that has helped Joe Mixon's confidence as well. He's running the ball well. He averaged almost 6 yards a carry in that game. So they really, and they got Giovanni Bernard, who also has always been a problem for the Ravens, too. So they got a really good stable of running backs.
Stan White from the Ravens Radio Network is with us right here on the break on SB Nation Radio. All right, Stan, we saw what the Steelers did in week one, a tie with the Browns, 21-21. Just from being around the Ravens, do you sense that they feel like, because it's been the Steelers' division the past couple of years, do you feel like there's a sense that the Steelers are more vulnerable this year with everything that's happened with the Le'Veon Bell situation and whatnot? Do they feel, does it seem like they're more vulnerable?
No, you got to knock them off first. You know, remember they barely beat the Browns last year in the opening game. And, you know, if they didn't have six turnovers against the Browns, nobody wins when they're minus five in the loss column, unless you're playing the Cleveland Browns. I think it's 132-4-1, and the Browns have two of those four losses and the tie. So if they weren't playing the Browns, there's no way they would have won that football game. So they probably should be pretty happy that they came away with a tie with all those turnovers.
All right, Stan, and before we let you go, how do you feel this one turns out tonight?
I like the Ravens' chances going into Cincinnati. It's always been a tough place to play. They had a good game against them last year. Again, to me, it all comes down to stopping A.J. Green and making a play or two on offense. But it should be a competitive game right down to the last 2 minutes of this one.
All right, that's Stan White of the Ravens Radio Network. Follow him on Twitter at StanWhite53. Stan, great stuff. We really appreciated it. And great stuff about President Trump and the USFL. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right, Brian. Anytime.
All right, that's great stuff from Stan White. Wow, that is fascinating. And you heard what he was saying about President Trump. Not at the time he was the president. He was running the USFL, or at least he owned a team in New Jersey there. And he went into his office and he said that President Trump, or Donald Trump at that time, was a totally different person from when he was in the meeting room to the persona he was portraying to the public, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, his persona that he portrays to the public now is even completely over the top. So it does make sense that he would be totally different. And Donald Trump, really, that's who everybody blames for the USFL folding, is President Trump, because they told him, do not sue. And he wanted to sue because he was upset with the NFL, that they were oversaturating the market. He thought that they deserved to be involved in the fall as well. And he ended up winning the lawsuit, but he got $1 for it. That's it. And then also you look at the fact that President Trump, and Jeff Perlman wrote the great book, some of the other stuff with Donald Trump in terms of that is he wanted to own an NFL team so bad that Pete Rozelle told him, you will never own a team in this league as long as I'm the commissioner. And that's why he went forward with that lawsuit, was because he wanted to destroy the NFL after that. And now we've seen to today, what is Donald Trump doing with the NFL? Trying to destroy it with the anthem stuff, trying to give it bad publicity. And all that goes back to Pete Rozelle telling Donald Trump, a much younger Donald Trump, you will never own a team in this league. All right, before we go, the NBA did something that makes no sense whatsoever. Not the league in general, but the NBA media. I'll tell you what that is next before I go, right here on SB Nation Radio.